morning. Come on in. Let's have a seat. Welcome to the Sunday morning service. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. Father, let your anointing permeate every aspect of this service. Every soul that is here to worship and praise you, those that are surrendering their lives and their talents to you, Father, we pray, Father, that you anoint us with a special anointing. Give us your words, your understanding, your thoughts, Father. Let everything be to glorify and edify you. For those that walk through the door, let the love of God saturate them. Let them see you and not us, Father Jesus. Let them see the thing that the world needs the most, and that is you. Father, I bind and rebuke any hindering spirits, for they have no hold in this place with these people, Father, in the name of Jesus. You must flee. You must flee. Father, I have faith in the cross and the power of the blood. Help us, Lord, when we have unbelief, Father. Give us strength and understanding and wisdom in that area. Bless the pastor as he brings forth the next word, Father Jesus. Anoint him physically, emotionally, spiritually, and his knowledge, Father. In the name of Jesus, have your way this day in this service. Amen. If I could give a title for today's sermon or teaching, it would be Foods on the Table. Foods on the Table. That would be a phrase that I would tell my children after I slaved in the stove, in the kitchen, on the stove, for hours preparing food. It's amazing how sometimes you just come out of the house in your room and you say, okay, food's on the table, and you just step back. Today, there's an invitation. Food's on the table. I woke up early this morning, and this old hymn was on my mind. I don't hear it anymore. Come and Dine. It's a beautiful song, and I want to read some of it. So Jesus has table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he does feed and supply our every needs. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and he turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desires, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble, symbol of be. Oh, twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white. And with Jesus they will feast eternally. I was reading in Luke chapter 14 is where this sermon came from. Verse 15, and I was in the Message version, and that's when the title hit me, and you'll hear it when I read. It says, that triggered a response from one of the guests. How fortunate the one who gets to eat dinner in God's kingdom. Now, Jesus is in a house of a Pharisee, if I'm not mistaken, having taken supper with them, and he's trying to teach some of them. But, of course, God used the word me today. And it said, Jesus followed up, yes, for there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servants to the invited guests, saying, come on in, the food's on the table. Then they all began to beg off one after another, making excuses. We don't do that, do we? The first said, I bought a piece of property and I need to look it over. Send my regrets. And another says, I just brought 5 teams of oxen and I really need to go check them out. Send my regrets. And yet another said, I just got married and I need to go home to my wife. The servant went back and told the master what had happened, and he was outraged and told the servants, quickly, get out into the city streets and alleys and collect all who look like they need a square meal. misfits and homeless and wretched you can lay your hands on. Bring them here. The servant reported back, "Master, I did what you commanded, and there's still room." The master said, "Then go to the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of those originally invited is going to get so much as a bite of my dinner party. Food's on the table. Every day, we are offered food from the Father. It's in your Bibles. It's on your Bible app. It's your opportunity to come and be in the service and learn from the men and women of God that He has set forth to teach. With the internet, we have access to anything at any time at the touch of a button. Do you realize that's nourishment to you? I do warn you, there are false prophets. There are those aren't teaching that are correct with the Word of God. That's why it's important for you to know what the Word says. That's why you've got to have that dining experience with Him yourself. A lot of us have been dining at different tables, haven't we? Ooh, we'll talk about that in a minute. We had three people that declined the invitation. And the meaning of this truly is, if you look it up and research it, it's about, you know, Jesus talking about calling in the misfits and the Gentiles, the ones of us where the Jews have rejected Him. He's going to go further out and invite everyone to be a part of this kingdom. But today I want to give you the revelation that God has given me. The first one had brought property and he wanted to go and look at it. And God said, He's enlarging His borders. He's accumulating His wealth. And that's a thing of pleasure. It's also a thing of pride if you're not careful. The second one brought a team of oxen. He's a man who likes to work. Gets his prosperity and his fulfillment, we'll say, in work, the love of money. The Bible talks about that one too. And the third one, oh, that one hit home. It was married a wife, family. How many times are we denying God or even the feasting at His table, His call to come and dine, because of those three things? Set back. It wasn't that I'm too tired. I use that one. I wasn't. I just don't have time. And family. I can't go because this one won't go with me. Or I've got to go do this. I've got to do that. But we'll see what Jesus says about all of those. If you look at Matthew 4:4 in the CSB. Let's start breaking these down. Now, the first thing, this is Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And this is the first temptation was food. And Jesus said, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Yes, you feed your body the substance that we have, bread, meat, vegetables, water. You give it all the necessary things, but are you feeding your spiritual man? The call today is come and dine. You don't just do that on Sunday. You just don't do that on Wednesday. Those are very necessary and needed things, yes. Because on those days, we have each other. We have each other. But Jesus knew right away that He was going to need every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, who was Jesus? John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He shall never thirst. He wasn't talking physically. He was talking about a spiritual connection that satisfied hunger and thirst. And I looked those words up, and bread, of course, is he's talking about a divine provision. And we could look at it as all the substances God supplies to yielded believers, scene by scene, to live in his preferred will. I like that scene by scene. Because, you know, some of my days are scene by scene. I go into work, I feel like I'm putting out fires all day long. Monday morning, I walked in, I didn't get to my desk. Sonia, I was like, we haven't even opened yet. What could be wrong? Scene by scene, his provision, I am the bread. Never hunger, never thirst. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that God's word is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides flesh, soul and spirit, and joint mire. I mean, that's, you know, intricate dividing. But it also says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Woo! That's why you see people don't come to church. That's why you see people don't read the Bible. Give me that fluff on the daily verse of the day, and that's all I want. I just want that sweet stuff. Well, I'm living proof. You can't live on sweet stuff. And you're buying a whole new wardrobe. Come on, it's the same thing spiritually. But he says, if you come to me, you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. No hunger and no thirst. What is hunger? Hunger is a painful feeling for something, isn't it? Hunger. Your body tells you when you're hungry. It's never fun. But he can tell when I need food because I've become a different person. Like that Snickers commercial. You're a different person when you're hungry. He learned that real quick. I remember the first time I realized he learned that. We were in Kings Island with the kids, and we'd been out there all day, and I hadn't ate, and I was grouchy. You could call me Oscar. Oscar the Grouch, and it was painfully. You know, he was experiencing the pain. He looked at me with the love of God in that man's face, and he said, baby, would you like something to eat? And it took me back, and I thought, yeah, that's what's wrong. Mama needs to eat. Feed me. Hunger makes you all kinds of different things, don't it? Makes you looking for stuff in places you don't need to be, does it? Oh, let's talk about thirst. Oh, thirst is the same way. It's painful. It's your body. You need something. Sometimes you're putting all kinds of stuff in it and it just won't make it go away. Those are the times when you're dining at the wrong table. When you're still thirsty and you're still hungry. Baby, you're putting the wrong thing in. Get in the Word. See where that goes. If you're lacking strength, that tells me you've not dined. When's the last time you connected to Him? You know what? I love that it says come and dine. Dine is not. Dine is for someone I want there. Come and dine. Come and socialize me. Come and partake bread with me. That's an invitation for someone that is loved. He rolled me up today. He said, come and dine. That's what I come to tell you today. Fill ourselves with temporary things, hoping that it'll bring joy and peace, and thinking it may have some kind of love in it, and it's not. You're still hungry. You're still thirsty. It's not satisfying. If you're hungry and thirsty, if you're weak, without strength, check the table you've been dining. Have you been dining? I'm reminded of the man who bought the piece of land about the gentleman who built the barns because he had such great possessions. That story is in Mark 10. And because my time is short, I won't read it, but it's Mark 10 and 21 and 22. And he had all this great harvest, and he was like, I'm going to build bigger barns and tear down the old ones and make new ones. And then he sat back, and then I'm going to sit back and say, oh, I've done good. So it is well. And God says, mm-hmm. Let's just read what God says. Mark 10. Verse 21 and 22. No, wait a minute. It's in Luke 12, I'm sorry. I gave you the other one. Luke 12, 18 through 21. Luke 12, 18 through 21. And I'm in the CSB version, but it says exactly what Pastor said. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life has demanded you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's how it is with the one who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. We buried my husband's father in October. Walking into the house and just seeing all the possessions that didn't go. Makes you look at your own place a little differently afterwards. But it's the same way in the spirit. Where are you putting your treasures up for? Is it here? Because I'm here to tell you, you're not going to go with you. They're going to stay here. Someone else is going to wear them. Someone else is going to look at them. Or someone else is trash. Where are your treasures? There was the little rich ruler, Mark 10 and 21 and 22. And he come to the Lord and he says, all these commands I've kept since my youth up. And I love it. Jesus looked at him with love. Even though he knew he was lacking, he looked at him with love. And he said, sell all your possessions and come and follow me. And the little ruler went away, sad, because he had great possessions. I bought a piece of property. Send my regrets. I had to go and look at it. Matthew 6, 19 and 21 talks about what I've been saying. It's the lay of your treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. It doesn't take long to figure that out when you talk to someone. 1 Timothy 5 and 6, and I know this one's talking about widows, but it says, whereas she who lives for pleasure and self-indulgence is spiritually dead, even while she is still living. We could apply that to our lives now. The walking dead. Walking and talking, but there's nothing there. The second one, he brought oxen, and he had to go purchase it. We're always working and trying to make money, trying to make it all happen. And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to work. That's biblical. The Bible tells you in many places we are supposed to work. We are supposed to work. Actually, 2 Thessalonians says if anyone is not willing to work, then he doesn't eat. That's it. We are called to work. If you can work, you are supposed to work. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. Now, this one is one you don't see a lot. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith, and it is worse than an unbeliever. Dead beats the word. Psalms 128:2 says, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Work is called in the Bible. Colossians 3 says we are to work as if unto God. Not just to our masters, but unto God. Because we are looked upon as his representative. And the unsaved and the unbelievers look at us as his representatives. Oh, well, you know, she's supposed to be a Christian. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10, and that's, you know, that's one of those that we always, people like to paraphrase, but you need to read what it says and understand it. 1 Timothy 6, and I want the King James Version on this one. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. All evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Covetousness. It's an insatiable desire for worldly gain, to find fulfillment, meaning, and purpose in things instead of God. In things instead of God. Are you going to be like the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:23? He says, how hard is it for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven? That's Matthew's version of what we read earlier. There's nothing wrong with having money if you've got your perspectives right. Nothing wrong with it. You put God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all things will be added to you. You don't have to walk in poverty to be a Christian. But if you have a problem with drinking, I suggest you not bring it in the house. Same thing with money. Be careful with it. Learn to be a giver. Not a hoarder. The third one, married a wife. Luke 14. Let's go back to Luke 14. He married a wife. Now, Jesus had some pretty harsh things to say. And I tell you, this one made me get the books out and do a little research, because I understand his concept. But I wanted to make it plain for y'all. And he says in Luke 14, 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Woo! Hate is a strong word. I had to look that one up. I said, all right, let's look, see what it says in the Greek, because that's the way it was originally written. And I won't try to mispronounce that word for you, but it means to love less. So if any man comes to me and loves less, not his father than me, his mother than me, his wife than me, and his children and brother and sister, and even his own life than me, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. I married a wife. She's more important. Our pastor talks about that. You make them your God. You can't do that. You lose yourself. Women are very apt to do this once they get married. It's just easy for them to happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen to men, but it does. Matthew 10, 34 and 39, he says, Jesus said, I come with a sword. That's another one of them hard verses. He says, I'm going to divide mother and father, or father and son, and mother and daughter-in-law. And if you don't, you know, those aren't worthy of me if those are important to you. If they are more important than I am, let's put it that way. Don't take up your cross and follow me unless you're worthy of it. If you find your life, you're going to lose it. And if you use your life for me, you're going to gain it. I've paraphrased a lot of that. Please go back and read it. We are setting today, and his words woke me up, come and dine. It's a call for you to come and dine. Come and have a relationship. Have fellowship with me. Are you weak? You're eating the wrong thing. You're eating from the wrong table. Are you tired? of strength, you're not eating the right thing at all. How can we be effective Christians? And I don't know about you all, but it's a war every day I open my eyes. Not only for my own self, for my children, for those, every one of you, everyone I'm connected to. It is a battle. The battle rages so hard on Saturday, I feel almost exhausted come Monday, or Sunday, coming here, because the enemy is working so hard to keep the word from you. And he's doing all that he can for me. Usually I get up on Saturday morning and all the thoughts and things that the Lord and I have shared all week, I pin it down and make a sermon out of it. Yesterday it didn't happen that way. I realized that this morning. I did pin it out. It wasn't early in the morning like I normally do. I get up first thing and do that. And just one thing after another. And I sit down and say, Lord, I have got to get this on paper. Because heaven knows I forget. Let's get it together. And it usually takes me a couple of days to write it all down and get it together for you. But the enemy is so adamant. It's this, it's that. We had plans to do this, and this changed because of this. And I was just like, I'm done. I pinned it out. I walked away. I went and joined some time with my family. I came back last night, and I pinned the rest of it in the quietness of the night. But the battle rages on with you every day. You have got to nourish yourself so that you can be effective. Have you ever tried to work with somebody who's not ate all day? It usually don't happen, does it? You find them over there asleep somewhere because they're too weak to even hold up the phone or whatever else they're supposed to be doing. How are you going to defend yourself as a Christian if you're not dying with the Father? How effective are you going to be? I love the story in John 21, where the disciples, Christ has been crucified, and Peter says, I'm going fishing. He says, I'm done with this. I'm going to go back to what I was. And then the rest of them were with me. How many of us are at that point? I don't know about you, but I have been. I have been, okay. Lord, I see nothing happening, no fruit. Are you sure this is where I'm supposed to be? And he wakes me up this morning and he says, just come and die. And he brings me back to this story. And here's Jesus walking on the shore. And Peter recognizes him first. And he jumps out of the boat and he runs to him. In the water he runs to him. And Jesus is on the shore. He's cooked. There's bread and there's fish on the fire. And he says, come and dine. I don't know where you are in your walk today, but he says, come and dine. Don't give up. I have what you need. Just come back to my table. Come and dine with me. Not with the world. Quit making excuses. Your family, your friends, your job, your pleasures of this world, they're all fine to have. But not when you put them before God. Because you need him. I can't walk a day without him. I've seen it.